days. You can run, but you can't hide. All right, we have three of them. But the only one that's here this morning is Linda Dickinson. Linda's birthday is September 1st. So let's sing happy birthday to Linda this morning. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, amen. Out in the lobby, let me say this really quickly. There is the Sword of the Lord magazine. We get 15 of these, I think, every 2 weeks. And I encourage you to take them. We got the newest one in. It was in the mailbox when I got here. And there's still about 13 of last week's or last issue out there. So if you would, take these. If you're interested, if you do any reading at all, set it somewhere. I won't say where. Somewhere. Set it somewhere where you read a lot. And it's got sermons in it. It's got the news and notes, or what they call the noteworthy news down here at the bottom. Is always interesting. It's news things, things that are trending. Things that you aren't going to get on the common news channels. And then there's sections for kids in there. There's sections just for ladies in there. A lot of information, good things. So these are available to you. And again, there's two different issues out there, so take those if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Can any good thing come out of 2 Chronicles? All right, we're going to look and see this chapter this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'm going to take the time to read all 23 verses because I want you to be familiar with the entire story. And we're going to briefly look at three things about it. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse number 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king, his father, slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the walls of Jabneth and the walls of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel and the scribe and Messiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers were of mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host of all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king. And said unto him, It appertaineth not to thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord.
But to the priests, the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belongeth to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. And Jotham his son reigned in his stead. I want to preach a message this morning, from riches to rags. You say, preacher, wait a minute, it's supposed to be from rags to riches. Yes, but this story is about a man that went from riches to rags. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Lord, thank you for the wonderful stories. God, the victorious stories. Those in which we relish and, Father, find ourselves and enjoy. But, Father, thank you also for the warnings. God, thank you for the lives of those that, Father, once productive, fell apart. And God, the things that happen and the things that we can learn from it. And Father, I pray that this would be a great warning to us this morning, that none of us would find ourselves in the footsteps of Uzziah. Lord, who for such a long time set a wonderful example to those that looked to him. And yet, Lord, by the end of his life, it ended in disgrace. We read that Isaiah said that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord also lifted up. Father, there was more accomplished in his death than there was in his life because of the way he ended up. And Father, may we take it this morning as a warning. Speak to our hearts, comfort us, encourage us, challenge us from your word. Most of all, we pray, should there be one today that's without Jesus Christ in their life. God, what a blessing it was as Brother Lewis asked those to raise their hand as a testimony of when in their life they received Christ, and to see all the hands go up in this auditorium. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your salvation. And we pray, God, now you'd bless us. And Father, should there be one among us that's not saved, may they give their heart and life to Jesus Christ today. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. We read in chapter 26, the whole chapter is about a man named Uzziah. Uzziah was one of the kings of Judah. He's actually the 11th king of Judah. Bear with me as I give you some background information that's helpful but not necessarily necessary. But Uzziah was the 11th king of Judah. All of the kings, or 95% of the kings of Judah, were good kings. You remember that under Solomon, after Solomon died, the kingdom of David, the kingdom of Solomon that had been united, after Solomon died, it was split. Jeroboam and Rehoboam divided the two kingdoms of Israel, and one had Israel and the other had what we call Judah. Most of the kings of Israel, as you read through Chronicles and Kings, were bad, evil kings. Most of the kings of Judah, from which Christ came, were good kings. One of the things we learned in Bible college was how to cheat. By that I simply mean this. We had to memorize the names of the kings of Judah and then say whether they were a good king or a bad king. So we memorized the names of the kings of Judah, all of them, and then put for every one, good, 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 good. Because if you got any of them wrong, you still got 95 on the test. Because 95% of the kings were good, so you didn't have to know which ones were the bad ones. But Uzziah is one of these good kings. And such a good king that outside of Solomon himself, and maybe Jehoshaphat, no king of Judah was as prosperous and as wealthy as King Uzziah. Everything, he had what we might call the Midas touch. Everything he touched turned to gold. He was one that under his reign for so many years, the citizens of Judah under his reign, if they'd had voting, they'd have re-elected him every time. Because the hand of God was upon the land of Judah for so many years when Uzziah was king. And that's what I want you to look at this morning. I want to see in verse number 1, it told us that Uzziah was 16 years old when he became the king. That's pretty young for a king. But the good thing is, it tells us down in verse number 5, that he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, according to Herbert Lockyer in his book, All the Men of the Bible, there are 29 different Zechariahs in the Bible. Zechariah was a very common Jewish name. So that prophet mentioned in verse number 3, again, according to Lockyer's book, this is the only reference to that particular Zechariah. But he had such an influence on the life of Uzziah that as Uzziah reigned and ruled in Jerusalem, the influence of Zechariah caused him to seek God. The Bible says about Zechariah that Zechariah had visions and understanding the things of God. And as long as he counseled Uzziah, Uzziah prospered and sought God, and the kingdom was blessed. Look back, if you would, at 2 Kings just for a moment. I want you to see where this how this kind of fits into it. In 2 Kings chapter 12, we read not about Uzziah's father, but Uzziah's grandfather. Again, remember that in Israel, the monarchy kind of passed down from one generation to another. And so here Uzziah is king because his father was king and his grandfather was king. And notice what it says about his grandfather in 1 Kings chapter 12. I'm sorry, 2 Kings chapter 12. You're acting like you're already there. I must have said it right the first time. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse number 1. In the 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign. That's the grandfather of Uzziah. He began to reign 40 years, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Notice, and Jehoash did that which is right in the sight of the Lord all his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So here we have Uzziah with Zechariah, just like his grandfather was with his prophet, that all the days that he sat under the instruction and the tutorial of that prophet of God, he did those things that were right in the sight of the Lord. I want you to notice back here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, I want you to see three things this morning. First of all, I want you to see Uzziah's success. Uzziah's success. In verse 1, we read about it all the way down to verse number 15. You'll remember where I paused before I said the word but. In those first 15 verses, we read about the success of Uzziah. Notice in verse number 4, it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. His focus was right. He had a desire to please the Lord. He wasn't worried about the princes. He wasn't worried about the counselors. He wasn't worried even necessarily about the voice of the people. He was worried about the voice of God. And he was dedicated and determined to obey God in all he did. And can I say this? Before the success comes, before we read about all the prosperity, it's because he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now let me be careful to explain that just because you do right doesn't mean you're going to have wealth. Just because you do right doesn't mean you're going to be abundantly blessed. But for this king in his position, in his lofty place, and with all that he inherited from his father, instead of blowing it and wasting it like many of the evil kings did, instead of being contentious and instead of being covetous, the Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And because of that, he had success. Can I tell you this morning that your success in life is based on doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. You have a free will. You've been saved, you've been washed in the blood, you've been redeemed, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. That's fair, that's wonderful. But now that you're saved, you have a decision now what you're going to do with your life. Are you going to live it for God or are you going to live it for the world? Are you going to live it for God or are you going to live it for yourself? And I almost think that living it for yourself is worse than living it for the world. But here's a king that decided he was going to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And because of that, the prosperity he inherited from his father continued to grow and God continued to bless him. God will bless us if we put God first. Now, it doesn't mean, again, that your bank account's going to grow necessarily. Doesn't mean that you're going to move into a bigger house or drive a newer car, but it simply means that your life will produce something more meaningful. You'll have success in your life when God is put first. The Bible tells us in verse 4, his focus was that he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Then verse 5 tells us about his faith. And I would say this, his focus was right because his faith was right. It says in verse 5, and he sought God. I wonder how many of us sought God today. Before you came to church, did you seek God? Did you look for his face? Did you read his word? Did you speak to him in prayer? Or do we get up in the morning, go through our routine, get our things done and figure, well, I'm going to be in church anyways. I'll wait till I get there and hear about God and seek God. Are we seeking God? If we're waiting for church to do it, what are you going to do tomorrow? If you're waiting for church to do it, what are you going to do on Tuesday and Wednesday? We need to seek God daily. And here's the man, the Bible says, and he sought God in the days. In the days. That means each and every day, every 24 hours, he was seeking God. Not just on Sunday morning, not just Sunday night, not just Wednesday night. But each and every day he was seeking God to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You know, if you would do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, the Bible says that when your ways please the Lord, they also will please man. Now, there are going to be some that don't like it, but there are going to be a majority that are going to like you more if your ways please God. Brother Darrell and I were having a short conversation between Sunday school and church about the problem we have in these days about folks in employment. Hiring people that are going to work and be faithful and show up. And that's been a problem in society for a great many times now. You know, it'll never be said of one that's seeking God that they have that problem. Because if they're seeking God, they're going to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Uzziah was one that did that. The Bible said in verse 5 that he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, this is not a blemish upon Uzziah, but I'd simply say this. As long as the prophet was alive, Uzziah sought God. Uzziah did not have an independent faith. He had a faith that was necessary upon someone else. Don't have a faith that's dependent on someone else. I can't tell you how many times down through the years in my ministry we've had people come to church, and I don't think there's any that are here right now that have ever said this to me. But I've gone to visit them and say, we're glad to have you in church. And they'd say, you know, my daddy was a preacher. Or my granddaddy was a preacher. He was a preacher down in West Virginia, or he was a preacher here or there and all these years. And that person, I could never get them to come back to church. They just laid out. They were never in church. Our faith should never be dependent on someone else. Uzziah had a great faith, and as long as he expressed that faith, God blessed him. But the Bible tells us it was in the days of Zechariah. And yet at the same time, we commend him because as long as Zechariah was there, he kept him motivated in the things of God. If it takes someone to motivate you in the things of God, do everything you can to stay motivated. You've got a favorite preacher you listen to on the radio, as long as he's good and solid, listen to him as much as you can. I turn the radio on all the time. I hear J. Vernon McGee on there. I hear Adrian Rogers is on 9:30 on almost every weekdays. You get to hear these different preachers. And as long as they build up your faith, man, go do everything you can to have your faith built up. Don't go from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday without any taste of God, without any seeking of God, because then you can't have good success. What did Joshua say? Then, if thou meditate therein day and night, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It comes when we seek God daily. So he had faith. He had focus. If we want to stick with the words that begin with F, he had farming. Look down at verse number 10. He built towers in the desert and digged many wells. For he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plains. See, God's blessing upon him reached every area of his life. We say, faith and focus, well, that's important. Well, I bet the farming was important to him too. He said he loved, at the end of that verse, for he loved husbandry, the raising of animals and crops. That was something he loved. There was no contradiction between what he loved and who he loved. No contradiction between what he loved and who. You know what the problem with us sometimes is the things that we love contradict the person we claim to love. The things that we devote our time and our attention to are contrary to the things of God. Don't wrap up in the things of God there, and we try to balance them or coordinate them, and it doesn't work that way. And as long as he sought God and God made him to prosper in the days of Zechariah, and his faith was strong and his focus was right, and he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved. What a prosperous kingdom it was under Uzziah, the king of Judah. When everything was right, his faith, his focus. Notice his forces in verse 11. By that I mean his military. Isn't it interesting to note that when a king is blessed of God, he wants to rebuild his military? Tell that to the modern day liberal. That when a king is right with God and seeking God and his faith is strong, he wants to refortify his military. Notice in verse number 11, moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael and the scribe Manasseh under the hand. Notice in verse 12, the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. 2,600 officers, generals, lieutenant colonels, captains. And verse 13, and under their hand were an army, 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. We read back here in verses number 6 and 7 about how he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneth and the walls of Ashdod. These different people had moved into the land of Judah and claimed their own towns and cities and had built walls to fortify it. And under the reign of Uzziah, he went and tore down those walls because that land belonged to Judah. He strengthened the country in verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbal and the Menims, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt. He was internationally known because of the blessing of God upon him. Remember Solomon, when the queen of Ethiopia came to him and said, "All I've heard of the wonder and the splendor of thy kingdom, but until I came and saw it with mine own eyes, the half hath not been told." Here's Uzziah in this kingdom, and God has blessed it, and God has, his kingdom has expanded, his army has grown, they protected him, they've conquered other lands. Everything about him is wonderful. Everything about him is blessed. His name is spread abroad. His faith is grown. In verse 14, Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. What a wonderful thing, I can testify, to be in the military and be properly armed. To not have to go against the enemy with insufficient munitions. And so here Uzziah thought of everything. He thought about the farming. He thought about his forces. He thought about his faith. He thought about his focus. He had everything together and everything's going good for the greater part of his life. Can I set the table here and tell you that for the greater part of his life? Now the Bible does not give us exact ages and dates, but having researched it and looked at it and tried to come up with something just to put a picture in our mind, he became king when he was 16 years old and he reigned for 52 years before he died. He died at the age of 68. And for 52 years of his reign, he was this king that prospered and had success all the way down to verse number 15. For 41 years of his reign, out of the 52, for 41 years of his reign, everything was good. Everything was blessed. He followed God. He did that which is right. But one of the saddest words in the Bible that comes up over and over again is that first word in verse number 16. But. Take everything we just said about Uzziah. All of his accomplishments. All of his blessings. All of his prosperity. All of his successes. Take all of those, and in one little word, they're all thrown into the trash heap. In one little word, they're all cast aside. And that one little word in verse number 16 is, but. Oh, he did all these things and was so prosperous and he sought God and had a focus and did all these things. But may it never be said of you and I in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, oh, they did so much and accomplished so much and lived so great. But notice what happens in verse 16. We've called verse 1 to 15 Uzziah's success. Verse 16 to 21, we're going to call it Uzziah's sin. Uzziah's sin. In verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. When he was strong, prosperity. His heart was lifted up, pride. For he transgressed, presumption. He transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar. Now, for you and I in our 21st century American mind, what we read right here, we don't get the true weight of it. What happened here is Uzziah got so proud of his accomplishments and thought that he was so righteous and so holy and so godly that he took upon himself, he presumed, to go into the temple to burn incense. The problem with that is the only ones that could burn incense in the temple were the priests that were ordained to do it. No other person, it doesn't matter who it was, no other king was qualified to go in there and burn that incense. That was the priest's responsibility and the priest's job. But Uzziah got so full of himself and thought he was so high and mighty that he could take it upon himself to go in there. And you saw that Azariah and 80 of the priests, valiant men, and they have to be, don't they, to oppose Uzziah? Here's a man that for 41 years of his reign now, got the hand of God's been on it, everything's been blessed, and they might easily back off and say, well, you know, we better watch our step here. But no, they confronted Uzziah in the temple and say, it doesn't appertain to you, it's not for you, it's not your job, it's not your responsibility, it's not your privilege to burn incense, that's for the priests to do. And Uzziah was wroth. You know, I underline that in verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. Because that's not the same Uzziah you read about in verse 1 to 15. There's a change in his character. There's a change in him here. In the first 15 verses, he's humble. In the first 15 verses, he's seeking after God. And he's doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And all of a sudden now, when he has a change of direction, a sudden blimp on the screen, there's a change in his character. And Uzziah was wroth, had a censer in his hand that he was going to use to burn the incense. And as he held that censer in front of those 81 priests, all of a sudden the leprosy began to show up in verse 19. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in the forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord and beside the entrance. You'll notice that the word leprosy shows up in verse 19, verse 20, twice in verse number 21, again in verse number 23. There's a difference in Uzziah. His sin caused a problem. You know how big that problem was? And again, for our mind, we don't kind of grasp that. But Amos chapter 1 and verse number 1 talks about an earthquake in the days of Uzziah. Zechariah the prophet, which again is different from the Zechariah mentioned in this chapter, but Zechariah also in his book, chapter 14 and verse 5, refers also to that earthquake in the days of Uzziah. And those that claim to know, and again I'm just going by information, say that that earthquake happened when Uzziah was in the temple trying to burn incense when it was not his privilege, right, or responsibility to do so. God showed his disfavor to such an extent that he sent an earthquake when Uzziah did that which was wrong in the sight of the Lord. Say, preacher, what are you saying? There is a big gap between doing that which is right and that which is wrong. You know what we tend to do? We tend to bring those pretty close together. Well, I'm doing right, and if I do wrong, well, it's just a little bit on... No, when you do wrong, there's a big gap between doing wrong and doing right. You say, what do I do? You do right. You stick to what's right. You take heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Because it's very easy to say, oh, you hear people say, well, that's a gray area. There are no gray areas. Well, maybe there are some. There are no gray areas when it comes to right or wrong for the Lord. And here's Uzziah that had done right for, get this right, he was 16. He's reigned for 41 years. So he is 58 years, 16 and 41, he's 57 years old. He's 57 years old, 57 years of life that's all been to service for God and loving God and doing right and seeing blessings and seeing prosperity and seeing success for 57 years of his life. But he goes into the temple and he does something he's not supposed to do. And can I tell you this? 57 years of good was forgotten when he did that one thing. All it takes, folks, is one thing to blow 57 years. All it takes is one thing to ruin 57 years of a built testimony. 57 years of a good witness. 57 years of serving God and doing right. And yet one act can blow the whole thing wide open. Now, we're not going to go into the temple and offer incense. That's something that's out of our league, out of our category. But you know what? I've seen a lot of folks, after many, many years of serving God, do one thing that just blew their life to pieces. Ruined their testimony, ruined everything for them. I have preacher friends that are no longer preachers. Because after so many years of pastoring churches and winning souls and leading people to Christ and feeding them from the Word of God, they got wrapped up in one thing or another, whether it was taking funds from the church or getting involved in some kind of immorality with someone in the church, whatever, or something on the computer, whatever it is. And after all those years of faithful service, that one thing happened and it wiped everything else out. And there's not a one of us here that can say, that will never happen to me. Nobody here so brash or bold to say, it might have happened to Peter, might have happened to Uzziah, but it'll never happen to me. One act, his sin, ruined all his success. That's why you and I need to stay faithful to God. We need to love Him each and every day. We need to seek Him each and every day. We need to never be overconfident in who we are or where we are, but make sure that we are doing what we should do each and every day of our life. Uzziah's sin followed Uzziah's success. His rage in verse number 19 would have been more properly replaced with repentance. If when those 81 priests were to come to him and said, Uzziah, what are you doing? Stop a minute, think. You're getting ready to do something that's not lawful for you to do. Not right for you. If he'd have listened to their counsel and repented, this story would end up completely different. No leprosy. No epitaph on the tombstone like it's going to end up here. But instead of repentance, he had wrath. Oh, you priests, who do you think you are to question me? Who do you think you are to challenge me? I'm Uzziah. Look what God's done in my life. Look at the blessings I've got on Him. I can do anything I want to. But in His wrath, he went about to do something. He never even got to do it. Because God sent down that earthquake and stopped him before he could. But he paid the consequences. He was a leper. The Bible says he was a leper and he was cut. Look at verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. 57 years of a good testimony and a good king. He lived to be 68. The next 11 years, he was a leper. That's not so bad. 58 years good, 11 years bad. Good works outweigh the bad. That's not how the Lord measures things. It's not how you start the race. It's how you finish the race. Paul told us that in the New Testament. And here's Uzziah that for 57 years did so great, but the last 11 years he was a leper, and the Bible says in verse 21, and he dwelt in a several house. You know what that means? Lepers couldn't abide with everybody else. He couldn't live in the palace any longer. He had to be isolated. He had to be cast out. He had to be taken away from the place where all the blessings of God had been because of his desire to sin. And he spent the last 11 years in a several house, separated from the people, separated from all the things that he had before because of his sin. I want you to notice lastly in verse 22 and verse 23, Uzziah's summary. Here's why you don't write a biography about somebody until after they're dead. Some of these sports athletes, well, somebody wants to make some money, so they go out and they write a biography about them. Some politician, they go out and they write a biography while they're still alive. You better wait till they're dead. Because by the time, whatever you write, by the time they're dead, they might have switched tracks 100%. They might have gone a completely different direction. I know some sports athletes that books were written about them, and boy, they were just high and mighty and all that thing. And after they retired from the sports world, they made a mess out of their lives. Better wait till the story's over to write the biography. Here's Uzziah's in verse number 22. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, the first and the last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, 68 years old, a life lived. How will it be remembered? What will they write on the tombstone? 41 years of success and prosperity, of conquering his enemies and inventing military works and providing for the cattle and all the seeking God. All, will he be remembered for those 41 years? You know what a sad truth of life is? My father passed away when he was 66. You know how I see my dad in my mind? I see him as a 65 and 66 year old man, because that's the last times I saw. I have to see pictures of him when he was 25 and 30 to remember he was actually young once. You know how my kids are going to remember me when they're my age? They're going to remember their dad, not with that jet black hair and that marine body. They're going to remember this. Our spiritual life is going to be remembered by them also. How's it going to be remembered? Is it going to remember, oh, dad or mom? I remember one time where they were just so faithful to God and loved God and active and did this and did that. Or are they going to remember this? They're going to remember the last years where we cooled off, where we colded down, where we weren't as much in love with God. Or are they going to see us reading our Bible at this age as much as they did 30 years ago? Praying as much at this age as they did 30 years ago. Going to church as much at this age as they did 30 years ago. Loving God and talking about God and serving God as much as this age as did 30 years ago. What happened to Uzziah? What was remembered? Was it his prosperity and his success and all the things that happened in the first 57 years of his life? No, look at verse 23. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belongeth to the kings. He wasn't even buried in the graveyard of the kings. He had to be buried aside from it. He was buried in their graveyard, but he couldn't be buried there. He was a leper. You know what? They say that his tombstone, if it's still... This, again, you never know when you're getting truth when you're reading Wikipedia or anything on the internet like that. But they say his tombstone, they had a picture of it, supposedly written in Hebrew, and it said, "Do not open this casket." I don't know why you'd open any casket. But do not, why? Because he was a leper. Notice in verse 23. He was buried there, which belonged to the king. For they said, I want you to get it. For they said, here's that man for 57 years that was prosperous and blessed of God and sought God and served God and did everything so wonderfully. But then that one act of sin caused the next 11 years for him. And what did they remember? What was said? For they said, he is a leper. You know, I'm sure if you could interview Uzziah after his death, he'd have come to you with tears and said, "That's not what I wanted to be remembered for. That's not what I wanted to be remembered as. Oh, if I just not..." Verse 16. "If I just not done that." Folks, how's our life? Right now, I'm looking at a bunch of people that are in the vitality of their life, regardless of your age. Regardless, you're in the vitality of your faith. Your faith is ever growing. It's abounding. It's prospering. It's successful. Our grace is our faith and our grace is growing each and every day as we seek God and walk with Him. Oh, don't let anything come in the way between now and death's door. Don't let anything come in the way that's going to turn the tables 100%, so that those that remember us after we're gone remember that instead of this. Paul said, the Lord said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Not your salvation, but a reward for being faithful unto death. All Uzziah, when he stands before that judgment, as far as I know, he'll be in heaven. By the story I read, I think he turned out all right. He just had a problem in his life that caused this thing to happen. But when he gets there before the Lord, he's going to realize how much he would have had if he'd had just held on for 11 more years. After 57 years, if he just avoided that one thing and finished out 11 more years and gone on, what a reward he would have had. But he lost it in verse number 16. But when he was strong. Don't let there be a but in your testimony. Don't let there be a but in your witness or in your life with the Lord. Oh, he loved the Lord until she was faithful to God until they did all they could, but, and he was a leper. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, this morning, may you speak to our hearts.